Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Tuesday Tonic. Wow, praise God. Praise God for another episode on Tuesday Tonic. I'm so excited to be doing this today. And I believe, God, that every one of us that is listening or will listen will be blessed. So for the past few weeks, we've been looking at the miracles of Jesus. And today we'll be going on to episode 9. But before we delve into today's word, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another Tuesday to hear your word. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of your word. Thank you, Father, for everyone that will be listening. I ask that, Lord, everyone will be blessed. As many are coming that are lost, they will be saved. As many are sick, they will receive their healing. As many are oppressed of the devil, they will be delivered. Thank you, because I know you are here present, Lord Jesus, to do what only you can do. Be thou glorified, for in Jesus' name I have prayed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so last week was, we talked about the resurrection of Jesus, continuation. Okay, we talked about, starting from the Easter period, we talked about the miracle Jesus performed. But this miracle was divine. It was different. It was not Jesus healing people. It was not Jesus raising the dead. It was Jesus being raised from the dead. The power of God was able to raise him from the dead. So I would encourage us to go and listen on the episodes, and you will be blessed. So for today, we are looking at a different story. It's a story still along the lines of resurrection, okay? It's a story or a miracle that Jesus did. And so we're going to be reading through. It's going to be a long read. We'll be reading through it. We'll be learning lessons from it on what Jesus did and how we can apply it to our present day life to receive the same healing and the same resurrection, the same life that others received through Jesus. So we'll be listening on that today as we read John chapter 11 from verse 1. John chapter 11 from verse 1. It's a long read. It's going to be up to verse 45. So as I read, we'll share, then we'll pray. Praise God. This time I'll be reading the NLT version because there are some things I would like us to catch from this version. It gives some details that I really like. So I'll be reading from verse 1. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. Underline the word dear friend. He's very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So the sickness was not unto death. God intended that Jesus would be glorified from this sickness, from this supposed death of Lazarus. Verse 5. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. So the Bible tells us that he had a relationship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were like family friends to him. He loved them. And in the scripture, I don't think there's anywhere there's any other place, okay, that was captured that was actually spoken of Jesus loving people. You will hear of Jesus having compassion on them and all that. But this scripture tells us that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So they were close to his heart, okay? Lazarus has been addressed as his dear friend. So I need us to get this word so that we can, you know, bring everything together as we, you know, we go through the scriptures. Verse 7. Finally, he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. So after 2 days, Jesus had heard from Mary and Martha that, oh, your dear friend is sick. But he stayed because he already knew the end from the beginning. Okay. And so he stayed back till after 2 days and he said, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there's danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. Our friend. So everyone that was friends with Jesus is friends of the disciple. Okay? So he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. He did not say, let us go and wake him up. He said, I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you would really believe. Come, let's go see him. Let's take a pause here. Jesus said Lazarus was sleeping. And they said, oh, if he's sleeping, so let's let him rest. Jesus then told them plainly, he's dead. So at first, Jesus did not say he was dead. The Bible says that we seek those things that be not as though they were. Okay? So Jesus was already speaking life. He knew he was dead. He could have plainly said he was dead. But no, he was calling for those things, like the scripture said. He was calling for those things that be not as though they were. He was saying he was sleeping. Remember in the last episode either 6 or 7 when we talked about the Jairus and his daughter. You know, when Jesus went there, they were crying, they were mourners and they were crying. Jesus said, the damsel is sleeping, and they laughed him to scorn. The same thing Jesus said, he's sleeping. So Jesus was not seeing the end of the matter like the end of the matter. Jesus knew that at the end, there was light at the end of this tunnel. Jesus was saying, you are seeing it this way, but I'm seeing it differently. So until we begin to see the way Jesus sees, we cannot produce the kind of miracles. We cannot even receive from him. Verse 16. So, you know, Judea, they were saying that the disciples were saying, oh, that they were going to stone you because back, you know, reading back still in the scripture, it was talking about where Jesus was going to be stoned because of, the miracles he had performed. And, you know, the Jews were angry with him. They were plotting against him. And a few days time, Jesus was saying, we are going back to that place. Jesus was going there because he had beloved people there. He was not mindful of what was going to happen to him. Jesus loved this family so much that he was ready to risk his head. Okay? So that shows that Jesus will go to any length to get you healed. Jesus will go to any length to get us saved. And that's why the Bible says that he died. He who was without sin took upon him the sin of the world. So because Jesus loves you and I, Jesus went to the cross. He took the pain. He bore your shame. He took our sicknesses. He bore it on his body. He went through the pain that you and I should have gone. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. So Jesus took upon him that wage for our sin. The wages for our sin, Jesus took it upon himself and he died. So Jesus was already demonstrating what he was going to do. So that's why the Bible, told us the relationship he had with these people. The Bible told us that Jesus loved them. So for love, God would do anything. That's why the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. So when God loves, he gives. Because God is love, he always gives. So Jesus loved this family and he was ready to give himself for them. Verse 16. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go too and die with Jesus." As in, okay, oh, let's just go and die. Because this man, as he stands, he wants to die. So let's go and die with him. Verse 17. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, so because of the relationship, you know, Jesus had with Mary and Martha and their brother, Mary heard, oh, Jesus was coming to your house, and Mary ran ahead to meet Jesus. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Martha had an understanding. She said, "If you had come earlier, if you had been here earlier, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." This knowledge did not come from her physical senses. I mean, it came from a knowledge, a spiritual knowledge. It came from a place of knowing who God was, of knowing who Jesus was, because Jesus used to go to their house. You know, Jesus dine, go to their house, he will eat. This same Martha will be the one to go and prepare food and all that, while Mary will be at the feet of Jesus, listening to the word of God. So they were used to hearing the word from Jesus. They knew he was the Messiah. And Mary said, I know. This knowledge came from intimacy. So that's why she was able to say, I know that whatever, even now, whatever you ask, you will receive. Whatever you ask, I know God will give you. Jesus told her in verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." This is the same Martha that said, "I know," that even now, she's not saying last day. Are you postponing your miracle? Are you like Martha? That yes, you know that Jesus can do everything. You know that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. You know that the name of Jesus has been given above every other name. You know that Jesus can heal, but you are postponing your miracle. You're postponing your salvation. You're postponing your deliverance to a latter day. When Jesus is saying, today is the day of salvation. Today you will receive your healing. Are you postponing your healing? Are you saying, yes, I know that Jesus can do it though, but maybe not today? Jesus, this is what Jesus is saying to you. The same thing he said to Martha, he's saying to you as you listen. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying." Jesus is saying to you, "I am, not I will, not I was, not I'm going to be. I am present continuous tense." So for every situation, Jesus is the I am. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Do you need resurrection? Jesus is. Do you need life? Jesus is. Anyone who believes in Jesus will live even after dying. So if that situation is deteriorating, the situation is getting worse by the day, Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. It doesn't matter what is going, how bad it is getting. If you will believe, Jesus said, if anyone believes, anyone, white or black, anyone, male or female, anyone, saved and unsaved or unsaved, if only you will believe. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. So what do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Do you believe that Jesus is the healer? Do you believe that Jesus is the one that can save and save to the uttermost? Do you believe that Jesus is life? What do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the provider? Do you believe that Jesus is your source? Do you believe that Jesus is your helper? What do you believe? Then, verse 28, then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. See the relationship they have with Jesus. They did not waste time. Martha heard that Jesus was coming. She left everything and ran to him. Mary now, being told of her sister that the master wants to, she left everything. The same person that was mourning, she ran and went to meet Jesus. What is your relationship with Jesus? How do you value him? How do you see him? Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village, so Martha went outside Bethany to meet Jesus. Wow, wow, wow. That speaks so much of Martha. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep, so they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." So this is the understanding they knew about, had about Jesus, that Jesus was able to do anything. Jesus was able to heal. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked. Jesus was angry. He was angry at the situation. He was angry that pain, see the kind of pain death is causing these people. See the kind of pain my people are going through when they have me around. Jesus wept. He wept because he was human. The Bible says he's touched by our infirmity. Jesus wept. He wept because he was touched. Because he loved these people, Jesus wept. Verse 34, "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed the blind. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. He was angry at their unbelief. These people saying this rubbish. He arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Rolled the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in headcloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Praise God. Praise God. So Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus, the same power is present here to heal you, to save and to deliver. Praise God. So this evening, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, Jesus had a relationship with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. That's why he was able to go to them. This evening, if you don't have a relationship, there's an opportunity for you to do that in 1 minute. All you need to do is say these words after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you because I know you love me. Thank you because you gave yourself for me. That's why you died, you were buried, and you resurrected on the third day. I believe your word. I believe that you died for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I give you my heart today. Come and be my Lord and my Master. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for I am born again. For in Jesus' name you have prayed. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for those who have just said this prayer, who has given their hearts to you after listening to what you did with Lazarus. Lord Jesus, I ask that you will come into their hearts and you will save them and save them completely. I ask that for the grace for them to live a life that is focused on you, that is sold out to you, that is dedicated to you in the name of Jesus. Father, even as Jesus lifted up his hand, lifted up his voice and said, Father, I know you hear me. I repeat those words and I said, Father, I know you hear me. I know. Now you always hear me. You always hear me. But I say for the sake of those who are listening today, I say this for the sake of those who would listen later on. Every sickness in their body, be healed of every sickness. Be healed. Every death situation, come alive. Now, in the name of Jesus, everyone who is sick, every hepatitis, be healed. Every heart that is broken, be mended. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Every pain in the stomach, be healed. Every sickness, whatever the sickness is, wherever the diagnosis, today I speak to your body, be healed in the name of Jesus. Whatever situation has been marked dead or is dying, I speak life. Jesus is the resurrection and life. I speak Jesus to the situation. Receive life to that dying business. Receive life to that dying body. Receive life to the dying mind. Receive life in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Receive life in your body. Receive life in your spirit. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you because your people are. Thank you because they are healed and healed completely. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name I've prayed. Amen. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I believe you have been blessed. I believe you have been healed. I believe you have been saved. Praise God. So if you said the prayer with me, please write in the comment and, you know, share with us that you said the sinner's prayer and you are saved, so that we can reach out to you and share more of God's word with you and help you on this journey. Also, if you got healed of in the previous episode or this episode, kindly share also in the comment section that you've been healed so that we can glorify God with you. Praise God. So I come to today's episode, Tuesday Tonic. I know you have received the healing tonic. Today's episode, I know you have been blessed. So you'll join me here once again next week, Tuesday by 6 p.m. See you next week, Tuesday. I remain your host, Adanna Emele. God bless you.